Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
We pray, oh God, that your word would inform us, speak to us, challenge us and change us, and do everything you want it to do. And we give you all the glory for your presence in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a guilty secret I want to share with you. Everyone's like, what is it? Quick. He was expecting me to say something like, I'm changing my name from Paul to something. Or my secret is that I love watching a certain program on telly. How many of you love watching certain programs on TV? Let me see your hands. How many of you are so holy you don't even watch TV? How many of you think it's the godless eye in the corner? But I have a guilty secret. I watched a program called Grand Designs. Now, some people think that's pretty boring. You know what I mean? They thought it was going to be something else or some other guilty secret. But the fact is, I love this program. Me and my son watch it. Vicky watches it sometimes. Lily, you know, watches it sometimes when she's not on Snapchat or Instagram because she's 14. But me and my son Thomas, he's 12, we watch it, we love it. And if those of you that don't know what the program is all about, it's about people that build their dreams. People have a dream and about having a house, a place that they live in, a place that they want to spend the rest of their life in. They have this vision, they have this dream. And then this man, an expert or whatever he is, he follows them through the process. And I love it because it's that thing that where someone, I love vision. I love people that have dreams. I love it when people have a dream that's bigger than their own selfish little comfort zone, number one. But also I love seeing the process as it plays out, because in my life, I have never, ever achieved anything overnight. How many of you have ever achieved anything good overnight? Right? Everything comes through a process. Now, even though I was set free from addiction, I was an addict for 10 years. So that didn't change overnight. But there comes a process followed by suddenly. There comes a time of vision, and then there comes a process, and then there comes the actual consequence of that. Are you with me? And I love this Grand Designs. And what happens in the Grand Designs is that someone will come with a dream and the man will interview them. And the first thing that he'll say is, what do you want to do? We want to build this beautiful house in the shape of a woodpecker. Or we want to do, you know, we want to build an upside down house in a forest. Or we want to build an underwater house in a desert. You know, some real wacky dream, you know what I mean? Some of them are really wacky. And they come, the last one I watched, the guy, he wanted to build a house on a cliff, a windswept, storm-laced cliff overlooking the North Sea or somewhere like that. I mean, it was dark, it was black, it made Manchester look like a holiday resort. You know, even the penguins had puffer jackets on, it was one of them. And he wanted to build this house in the midst of weather because of the view. Nutso. So he gets the vision, and the man asks him. He says, so your vision is this, where are you going to do it? He tells him where. Then he says, how long do you think it's going to take? And they normally say, you know, I think it's going to be 6 months. And you can almost hear the man sniggering to himself. Okay. And then he says, how much is it going to cost? £400,000. Okay, 6 months, 400 grand. I mean, that sounds like a good, you know, that's a good thing, right? You would want a nice chunk of house for 400 grand. You're building it yourself, so you're going to get something better than if you bought it off the shelf. Not that you buy houses off the shelf, but you know, you understand what I mean. And so then it all begins. And the reason why I like it is because as a pastor, I see people's lives in this same way. I see people that get born again, they get set free, they get saved, they come in to the church, and then that begins a process of construction within their lives. And every one of us is under construction in some area of our lives. Turn around, look at someone, point at them, get their attention, say, you're under construction, man. Tell someone, you're under construction. You're a work in progress. How many of you know we're a work in progress? Huh? And sometimes we use that phrase as an excuse. If I do something wrong and my wife rebukes me, I tell her I'm a work in progress. You didn't marry the finished article, baby. You married the young man who's growing up into an old man. Or something like that. Right? And so it goes through this pattern of stuff. We're all unique. Every one of us has got a vision for our lives. How many of you have got a vision for your life? There's somewhere you want to end up. There's something you want to look like. Let me see your hands. Because if you haven't, that means that you're just living as an accident. But you need to be living on purpose. And that means that there's a building process. There's a working out that takes place. So what happens is, it goes in three ways then. The first thing they have to do is they have to find the location. And finding the location is very important, because if you get a location that's too far away from the good stuff and too close to the bad stuff, then it's not going to be the best location in the world. How many of you have ever lived in a place that's too near something that's very noisy, like a train track or a motorway or, you know, some nutty neighbors? Amen? And when Jesus said, you know, bless your enemies and bless your neighbor, he might have meant that sometimes they're the same thing. Just bless them anyway. But you live too close to something that's no good, it can cause problems. What about not living close enough to something that is good? Like you live too far away from the shops, or you live too far away from the motorway, or you live too far away from amenities, or you live too far away from a park for your kids, or you live too far away from the bus stop. Whatever it is, then there's a problem. So location is key. Can everyone say amen? Location, 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 location. Having the right location is important. And for a building, it's important, but also for our lives. There's two areas that we need to have the right location. The first one is spiritually and supernaturally and eternally. We need the right eternal location. How do we get that? Well, the Bible's quite clear about this in the book of Hebrews. God tells us through his word here how we get in the right place supernaturally. Says in Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 10 onwards, it said, God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. That's important. When Jesus died on the cross, there was therefore then after that no sacrifice ever that's ever going to be required again. That's unlike any other religious system. Any other religious system that you get, you're always consistently having to make sacrifices or do things or pray a certain amount of times a day facing a certain direction or not eating certain food or doing some other thing. You have to do this to earn yourself the right to be put in the right location, right? So you do by your own effort. That's religion in a nutshell. That's the religious system, which is earning for yourself the right position. But in Christianity is the only religion or faith that there is that doesn't say you have to do this to get the right result. It says everything done so you can have the right result. What do I mean by that? Well, it goes on very clearly. First of all, God wants us to be holy. Only Jesus could accomplish this, but this is how he does it. Verse 11, it says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. In other words, what happened? If you messed up somewhere in your life, you go to the priest, you take a goat, a ram, a bull, whatever it was, some corn or something, normally an animal, and the animal then would be killed, slaughtered, its blood would be taken, put on the altar, and that would be the covering or the atonement for your sin, right? But it was that for that sin. What about you do it again? What about you slip up again? You're never ever going to be good enough to get into the position of never being able to need to sacrifice again. I use the allegory, the illusion, or the story of having an interest-only mortgage. You've heard me speak about this before, where when some people buy houses, they used to buy them interest-only. So the house is worth 100,000. The bank would lend you £100,000, but instead of repayment of the mortgage, you would just pay the interest on the £100,000. So the bank would lend you the £100,000 and you would go into the house as if it was yours, and then you would just pay off the interest. But 10 years after, you still owe £100,000 because you haven't actually paid off the capital amount, you've just paid off the interest on the loan. Under the old system, under every religious system there is outside of Christianity, that's all people do, is they just pay off the interest of all of the wrong things that they do in their lives. But the whole big stuff that keeps you out of the right position still stays hanging over your head. You can never, ever be sure in Islam, Hinduism, anywhere else, that you are forgiven and you're for definite going to go to heaven. Only in Christianity. Only in Christianity can you have the assurance that not only are your daily sins paid for, but your sin has been covered. It's like Jesus came in to the bank and put 100 grand down on the counter and said, paid in full. And then he comes back and says, the house is yours, here's the deeds. That's how it works. You don't have to go back making sacrifices to get into the right position. When you trust in him, you're already in the right position. Watch this. Are you with this? Does that make sense? This is so important. It says, but our high priest, verse 12, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. So when you come to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you accept everything that he's done, his sacrifice for you, his blood pays the debt. Every lie you told. Oh, some of you ain't excited. Some of you don't care. Well, go back and sacrifice yourself then. You know what I mean? He does it once and for all time. And watch this, verse 14, it says, for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. You know what this means? This means that when you trust in Jesus, you no longer have to work towards being perfect. When you trust in Jesus, he takes you and goes, boom, right in perfection. You're already in a perfect place, and it's known in the Bible as being in Christ. You're under his covering. You're in Christ. You're born again. You're made new. You're a new creation. You've gone from an outsider to an insider. You've gone from being a stranger to being an adopted son or daughter. You're part of the family. You're in the royalty. You're in a perfect place. You don't have to work towards that anymore. You're in it. Then, of course, you've worked from it. But that's different than working for it. Does everyone understand? So this is so important, because this location allows Christians to live in freedom. Otherwise, you get caught up in mad religion, and then you'll follow all different types of rules and laws and all the rest of it, and you'll never be free, you'll never have joy, and you'll think that you're always trying to prove yourself. And that's caused more problems than anything else in Christianity, is this religious system of trying to work it out, work for it yourself. You don't have to. Jesus has done it. Amen? When you're saved, man. Amen? People say, can you lose your salvation? Well, the Bible makes providence for that, but it's not like losing your watch or losing your phone. It's not like, how many of you have ever lost your phone or your house keys? A sock. How many of you ever lost a sock? Right? Losing your salvation is not like losing a sock in the washing. It's not like there you were all of a sudden, next thing, you're like, oh, where's my salvation gone? Have you seen my salvation? Excuse me, love. I had my salvation before, but now I've lost it. That's not how it happens. But if you took your sock off your foot and you screwed it up into a ball and you said, I'm no longer going to wear socks, and you threw it in the bin, that's different, right? It's not easy to lose your salvation. It's possible, according to Scripture, if you read it clearly and literally, but it's not easy. So once you're in, work from that place. That's your position. That's your location. You've got the perfect location that can give you the best vision and the best view of life that you can have. And then on that, you then begin to build. So the second thing after having the right location, first of all, it's your supernatural position, but what about your church? That's a position that Christians struggle with. Some people up about churches like fleas hopping about from, you know, one dirty person to another. Right? Sometimes because it don't meet my needs. Shut up. When was it about you anyway? Selfish person. Right? It's about Jesus. How do you know you're in the right church? Two things I'll give you. Number one, it challenges you to change. You're going to be challenged to change. You're going to be challenged to grow. You're going to be challenged in your character. You're not just going to be getting an easy ride. No one's going to be there judging you, but they're also not going to be there patting you on the back for sin. Because the word of God's going to come out and it's going to confront you, like looking in a mirror and seeing the fact that you've got sleep in your eyes or you've got stuff down your chin. Come on now. You've got stuff in your teeth. A good church, someone in a good church will come up to you and say, you've got stuff in your teeth. And then they'll still love you, but they're not going to leave you walking around going, with spinach coming out of your mouth. Then secondly, not only will it challenge you to change, it'll also give you the opportunity to serve. There'll be a position for you to get involved. You can get involved. Why is that important? Because every believer is a minister. Everyone. The difference is, my role as a pastor is one of the, what they call, apest. And I know that's really bad, you know what I mean? Because in the light of certain Catholic scandals and all the rest of it. But it stands for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. The gifts of the Son, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd or pastor and teacher. Right? These administer. They equip the saints to minister. Every Christian needs to be involved in service. Why is that? Because that's where you work out your salvation. That's where you live in holiness. That's where you walk in faith and don't just talk about faith. So if those two things are happening in your church, then praise God, man, it's a good church. Stay there. There's no perfect church, but it could be a perfect church for you. Amen. So the second thing is, once you've got your location, is then you have to begin construction. This is really important. Everyone has a vision, but not everyone wants to build. And the thing is, everyone's under construction, but how many of you know everyone's should be involved in construction also? This is where we put our hands to the plow. This is where we work out our salvation. This is where we start to see the thing begin to develop. And the first thing that you need to do is you need to have the right foundation. You need to have the right foundation. The right location is important. Then you have to build the right foundation. And the thing about building is that you'll see a building site and you look at it and nothing happens for months. That building site across the road from the church, there was nothing there for months. And you can look at it and say, there's nothing happening. But in actual fact, what was happening was there was something happening. It's just you couldn't see it with the naked eye because they were going deep. They were building foundations. And the reason they went deep is because they wanted to go high. And the higher you want to go, the deeper you need to dig. The deeper your foundations need to be, the stronger your foundations need to be, so that the bigger your building can be, and then it can withstand the wind, the rain, the snow, the hail, and every adverse circumstance that comes against you. So you need strong foundations. And that's a work that's done internally. It's done out of sight and out of mind. And sometimes people get bored of doing it. But that you can't not have it. Because you can have a building without a foundation. It's called a shed. You got one out your garden. Go and live in that. Not only has it not got a foundation, I guarantee you that you can't have a toilet in it. Because it's got no drainage. And it probably hasn't got a tap because it's got no water lines. And you can't cook in it because it's got no electricity coming into it. And all of these things are done at the foundational level. And they're all supplying all the resource and all the things that we're going to need for living in that place later on. So sometimes you need to, whenever you're beginning something new, you've got to make sure that the foundations... Paul spoke to the Corinthian church about this. Corinthians were nutters. Huh? What a mad church. They weren't a white middle class, you know, upwardly mobile kind of church, right? They were nutters. They were multi-ethnic, multi-educational, multi-generational, multi-economic. Amen. They were all over the place. And you know how I know they were crazy? Because how many chapters Paul wrote in letters to them? Paul wrote two letters that we've got that we know, right? First and Second Corinthians. And in those two, and then there were two letters that he alludes to that we don't even know. We haven't even read. In the two letters that he wrote 29 chapters of information and instruction to the church in Corinth to deal with their problems. To the church in Philippian church, he wrote four. 25 chapters more for the church in Corinth because of the madness of the stuff that they had. And one of the reasons why they had so much madness is because they were so worldly. They wanted to keep hold of the things of the world. And how many of you know that there's certain things that you build with when you're building a building? How many of you know the story of the three little pigs? Anyone? They all built a building. They wanted to live in a house. One built it of straw because it was easy and quick. One built it of wood because it was an upgrade. One built it of stone. But when the big bad wolf come around, which one didn't get in the sandwich? Or the bat or the balm? Amen? Who's a bat person? Bacon bat. Bacon balm. Bacon roll. Bacon sandwich. Who's religious and don't eat bacon? Huh? So what you build with is very, very important. Amen? Paul spoke to the Corinthians. He said this. He said, because of God's grace to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation was important. It is Christ. It is Him alone. But then there was a foundation layer. The foundation layer, we have them, all of us have them in our lives. They're the people that have gone before us. They're the ones that have paved the way. They're the ones that have made it happen. They're the ones that whose footsteps we follow. And when you find a good leader, when you find someone that's the real deal, honor them. Amen. Honor them. And then follow in their footsteps because they make it easier for you to do it. Right? And he said that. And then he said this. He said, following on in verse 12, he said, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. And he lists them. Gold, silver, jewels. Right? These correspond to integrity, character, kindness, faithfulness, commitment. You know, all the things that we take for granted in Christianity, but some people think of as boring, so they don't bother doing them. These are the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Are you with me? These are the things that cost reality, not faking. How many of you know there's a lot of flakes in Christianity? You come across any flaky Christians? Huh? That they come to church, they sing the songs and all that, but when you see them outside, they're cussing, they're messing around, they're doing this and doing that, you would never know they were a Christian. Unless you saw them in church, and when you see them in church, you're like, oh, really? Oh man, I'm so sorry. Huh? Right? Don't fake it to make it, and don't flake it. Amen? Start building properly with the right materials. This takes effort. And then he says this, he says, there's others, wood, hay, or straw. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. No one gets away with it. Huh? The fire will show if a person's work has any value. How many of you know how faithful someone is when nothing's going their way? You know how much you love Christ when Christ is silent in your life? You know what you've been building your Christianity upon when the whole world is against you? Can you still praise Him in the darkness? Can you still give when you ain't got no money? Can you still bless when you're feeling cursed? Can you still love when haters are hating? Can you still tell the truth when a liar would get you out of trouble? This is where you begin to see what type of building you want to build. Do you want to build one of wood, hay, or straw? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25 says, despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. So you can want to have a building, you can find the right location, you can get your plans together, you can do all that stuff, but unless you actually get involved in the process and build with the right stuff, all your desires and your dreams are just that. They're good for when you're asleep. But when you wake up, you've got to put them into practice. And how many of you know, sometimes it gets difficult, it gets tough, it gets hard. Back to the program, Grand Designs, you see the guy coming back periodically. You come back and you see the fact that the foundations didn't go down as quick as he wanted. The concrete didn't come on time. It was the wrong consistency. It didn't have the right stuff in it. It gets put back a little bit. The weather's no good. This don't work. That gets broken. That needs something else. And you see him after 6 months, he comes back. 6 months was his limit. 6 months was his timeline. It's going to take 6 months and 400 grand. He comes back in 6 months and there's no windows on. There's no doors on. There's nothing happened inside. And he says to the man, what's happened? And he says, well, it took longer than I expected. There were more challenges than I thought was going to come my way. How much has it cost you? Well, it's cost me a little bit more than I thought it was going to cost. So it gets to the point when the first mile's over, man, and you get to the second mile. The easy stuff is over. Your honeymoon of Christianity is over. The comfort zone ain't comfortable no more. And now all of a sudden, how much are your dreams worth to you? How much are your desires really worth to you? You could sack it right now. You could shut up shop and you could leave it as just an empty shell. But all that time and all that effort and all that money was wasted. There is no return coming from a wasted investment. So they have to follow it through. And some of them, you see them, man. They want to break up in their marriage. They're arguing. They're going through changes. They're having to go and get an extra job to raise more money. All sorts of stuff happen. And there you are in the comfort of your living room on the couch going, And sometimes, because I'm a man of faith, I'm trying to get them on with it. I'm saying, come on, son. Go on, don't give up. Don't quit, man. Follow your dreams, brother. Come on now. And Thomas is going, yeah, follow your dreams. And Vicky and Lily are going, what is it you're watching YouTube? Like it's some sort of, you know, big fight or something. She comes in, it's Grand Designs. They're like, what? But you want them to follow their dreams. You want them, don't quit, man. But then you follow it through the process. Finally, the walls are up, the roof's on, the windows are in. You can dry it out inside. You start plastering, they start doing all that stuff. And then after the construction, there comes the third thing, which is the decoration. But it has to come in order. Some people want to decorate before it's been constructed. Imagine wallpapering on a wall in a house that ain't got no windows. Ain't got a roof. You're doing all the wallpapering. You stuck the carpet down. Well, we want this carpet. I can't wait. And some people are like that in their lives. They want all the decoration. The decoration is just a detail. It's just where you're going to do it specifically, what you're going to do specifically, how you're going to do it specifically. And we want that first, right? We want all the details. I want to know where I'm going to serve. I want to know how I'm going to serve. I want to know what ministry I'm going to be in. I want to know how much I'm getting paid. I want to know how long it's going to last. That's detail, man. That comes at the end. Make sure your foundation's right. Make sure you're building with the right materials. Make sure you get that phase done. Imagine putting you might want a gold-plated toilet. That's nice, but don't put it in a house with no doors because it ain't going to last overnight. Not in Manchester. Someone's going to come and claim it overnight. But then the detail bit, the decoration bit is a beautiful bit, but it has to come in the right time. Build the right foundation. I'm 24 years as a Christian and I'm still decorating. I'm still decorating in my life. I'm still working out what bits I want in my room. I'm still saving up for the right things to put in the right place so I get my ideal life. You with me? But thank God I got the right foundation. Thank God it was built with structures that have lasted the test of time. The decoration can go on and on forever. And once you think you've got it, then your wife wants to change it. Amen. This is the perfect house. And then she'd come in and she'd say, I've seen some new wallpaper. I've seen these lovely couches. Well, we've just paid that one off. 5 years. Amen? So they're the three elements. We're all under construction. We're starting a new series. In this series, you're going to find out how to do it, what certain areas. There's technical stuff. There's beautiful stuff. I believe, and here's the thing, and I'm going to close with this. I believe that in this place, there are people that you have dreams and that you have vision. But maybe you've gone quiet on it. Or maybe you went off on the wrong place. Maybe you did the wrong thing at the wrong time. Maybe your timing was out. Maybe you started to build your ministry without even having the right foundation or having the right construction or doing things in the right timing. And that's why you're having problems. Maybe you try to do all the things in the wrong order. The fact is this, if you've made a defect, rectify it. Go back and change it. Are you with me? Go back and say, you know what? I did wrong. How can I change it? Make sure that you do it. Don't, you know, if you've left the drains out and you're already decorating the house, then it's going to get a little bit messy. But you can do it. But it's better to do it the right way around. Some of you have left off your dreams. Some of you won't even start because you don't think you've got enough to continue. And you're living in a little Christian shack. That's nice, but it's not where God wants you to be. I want to encourage you today that God has a blueprint for your life, and it is bigger than you could ever think of. It's going to cost more than you're willing to pay right now. And it will probably take longer than you want it to take. But the end result is going to be a grand design. And it's going to be better than anything that you could have even come up with yourself. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived that which God has in store for those who love Him. Stand to your feet. I just want to pray. There's a shifting in the atmosphere. There's a releasing of something new that's taking place. God wants to build you into something that is grand, something that is great, something that goes beyond your own small self, something that is for a worthy cause. He wants to give you vision, something that's bigger than you, something that's for His cause, not just for yours. Something that is going to enable you to be part of His plan for this world and this universe. Something that is eternal and supernatural. You want that? You want that? You can build a business, praise God. You can build a family, wonderful. You can build a ministry, superb. But what He wants you to do is build a relationship with Him. Because in that, He might show you, you know what? I don't want you to put that wall up there because you're limiting what I want to do. Build out a bit further. Stretch a little bit further. Press in a little bit longer. Get ready to do a little bit more. Father, in this place today, in the name of Jesus, I pray that if there's people in here that have lost their dreams, that have given up on their dreams, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would release a new encouragement to them. Lord, that they would begin to see what it is that You have in store for them. It's beyond anything that they can see or hear or think. It goes beyond that. Lord, I pray, God, if there are people that have built too quick and have forgot something important, I pray, God, that they would stop and they would rectify the situation right now in the name of Jesus. Because by the time you've completed it and you have to go back and do that,
in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.